If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Since the topic is the rules of prayer, particularly speaking, we were talking about doubts, especially in the previous episode, especially approaching the end of that episode. We promise our audience, Sheikh Javid, to talk about some of those doubts that should be ignored while offering a prayer. We just started talking about those doubts that should be ignored, such as the topic of the frequent doubter, Kathir al-Shak. Would you continue talking about those doubts, please?
Well, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, there are certain and a number of doubts which must be ignored, and these are very helpful for a person. And if a person knows how to handle his doubts, I think he'll be it will be in his benefit.
Yes.
A doubt about an action whose time of performance has already passed. Like, for example, during ruku, a person doubts as to whether he has done or he has recited Surah Al-Hamd or not, or he has done, he has recited Surah Ikhlas or not, because he is doing ruku and he cannot repeat the ruku.
Yes.
So since the time has passed, he should ignore his doubt and assume that he has recited the zikr. Even if he later understands or realizes that he did not recite hamd and the zikr, of course his prayer still remains valid. His prayer remains in order.
When we are talking about doubts, Sheikh Javid, basically we are talking about 50-50 chance, right?
Yes.
If any part, any scale, any end of this scale, in fact, goes over or higher than the other one, like 40-60, then that's not considered as a doubt, right?
Yeah, that's not considered. That's called a strong feeling.
Yes. Yeah. And then you have to act according to your feeling, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Yes. That's why the religious authorities have expressly stated in their books that we have time to think a little bit. We should not rush. Okay, when we have doubt, we should think to come to a conclusion. Maybe we will, if we think deeply and more carefully, we will come to a conclusion. And based on that conclusion or that strong feeling, we can act.
Yes, thank you.
Now, as far as the next doubt which must be ignored by us is concerned, of course, doubt which occurs after the salam of prayer. We know that the prayer ends with salam and it starts with niyyah and takbiratul ihram, of course. But after you have said salam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, then you start doubting whether I have offered 2 rakats or 3 rakats, whether I have, you know, done the prayer or performed the prayer correctly or not. All of these doubts, no matter what the category of the doubt, okay, whether it deals with the rukun of the prayer or whether it deals with the number of the rakats of the prayer, of course, all these doubts, the doubts about all these must be ignored. This is number two. And then number three, doubts after the time of prayer has already passed. Now you have left the prayer.
Yes.
You have left the prayer. And after a few minutes, you start doubting whether you have done, you offered the prayer correctly or not. Of course, that doubt must be ignored.
Yes.
Okay. And then we have doubt of a person who doubts too much. Okay.
Yes.
I think we talked about it in the previous episode, and I said that a person who is considered to be kasiru shak, or a person who doubts very often, very often, must ignore his doubt. He should give the benefit of the doubt to himself. Okay. If a person is offering, for example, prayer, and he doubts whether he has offered, let's say, 4 rakats of prayer or 5 rakats of the prayer, he should give the benefit of the doubt to himself.
I see.
And of course, we have a lot of such people who doubt very often, and they, you know, they try to, you know, repeat their prayers, not understanding what it means to ignore one's doubt in the state of, you know, when one is doubting very frequently.
Yes.
So it's very important to understand and to practice this you know, this law, and to ignore one's doubt when one is. And who is a kasiru shak? A kasiru shak.
Yes. Let me.
I think this is very important to understand,
exactly,
because many people wonder as to who a kasiru shak is, or who is a person who doubts very, very frequently.
Yes.
A person who doubts 3 times in the same prayer.
Yes.
In the same prayer, is a kasiru shak. And also a person who doubts 3 times in 3 consecutive prayers. Prayers, then he is considered to be a kasiru shak.
Okay.
But it has also been said by the religious authorities that one should be in normal situation. Now, if because of anxiety or because of fear, because of certain reasons, if a person doubts three times in the same prayer, he is not considered to be a kasir shak.
Because that would be like doubting randomly, right?
Randomly, yes.
Not a frequent type of doubt or doubter.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohan Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our dear guest speaker at the studio, talking about the rules of prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Particularly speaking, we're talking about the doubts that should be ignored. Would you continue, please?
Well, the doubt by the imam, one who leads a congregational prayer, about the number of the rakats of prayer, when the ma'mum or the follower knows the number of the rakats, okay?
Yes.
Must be ignored by the prayer leader. Mm-hmm. Now, the prayer leader doubts whether I have done two rakats or three rakats, but the people standing behind him knows the number of the rakats. So the people behind him or the ma'mum can just indicate...
Yes.
Or just communicate to the imam somehow.
Get across, yes.
Yeah, that to tell him that he is that to tell him the exact number of the rakats of the prayer. So this kind of doubt also must be ignored. Whether the doubt whether it is the imam who doubts or whether it's the ma'mum who doubts.
Yes.
So the doubt must be ignored, and when it comes to the last, doubt. Which occurs in mustahab prayers or in the doubts which occurs in namaz ihtiyat, okay? In the prayer which is offered as a measure of precaution.
Mm-hmm.
So doubts, generally speaking, in mustahab prayer must be ignored, okay?
Yes.
Because mustahab prayer is mustahab in itself, per se it's mustahab.
Yes.
So the doubts are not going to be obligatory. You are not going to pay attention to the doubts.
I see. Okay. How about this kind of doubt, Sheikh Javid, if somebody is offering the prostration part of the prayer, all right?
Yes.
And he or she doubts whether he or she has performed the ruku or not.
Yeah.
What is he or she supposed to do there?
Well, this is just an example of the doubt which occurs after the time of prayer has already passed.
Yes.
You know, we did discuss this, that if a person doubts about an act whose time of performance has passed, he should ignore his doubt. And when someone is doing sujood and he doubts whether he has done the ruku or not, he should simply ignore his doubt. And he cannot perform the ruku and then do the sujood again, because it will be an addition of a rukun. Because if you add a rukun to the prayer forgetfully or deliberately or intentionally, the prayer becomes void. You cannot add or you cannot omit a rukun to the prayer.
Okay, thank you very much, Javid, for your nice answers and shedding a light on the questions regarding the prayer. And particularly speaking, in this program we were talking about the doubts, especially the doubts that should be ignored in this episode of Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to this program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Malajan. لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير.
محيط.